Jeff, are you there?
I am, Ann.
Oh, hello, there you are. It's amazing when you turn the right button on what happens. How you doing this morning, Jeff?
I'm okay. How are you doing this morning?
Well, once I got my buttons fixed, I'm in good shape here today. I tell you what, this is a nice way to start off Friday morning to have you here with us here today.
Well, it's great to be on with Ann. You know, I love Ann, and I love the I Love Ann show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Boy, though, I tell you what, Jeff, you know, I remember talking to you before this new Congress started, and you said that the Republicans, since you had been there, had never not been in charge, and you didn't know how it was going to be. What can you say, Jeff Duncan?
Well, I know how it is now, being in the minority. I was never in the minority in the state legislature for 8 years, or up here for 8 years, until January. So now we see that the amendments that we offer, that the parliamentarian says there's nothing wrong with them from a parliamentarian standpoint. They're germane to the bill because they're a spending bill. They're either spending money or cutting spending or directing spending, are just ruled out of order because the Democrats didn't want to bring them to the floor and debate them. So the Rules Committee just voted them down. Maybe we did some of that. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but that's the way it goes. I had two amendments yesterday, one that basically fulfilled the law, which is to allow energy exploration in Anwar in Alaska in the National Petroleum Reserve area, 2,000-acre spot out of 19.5 million-acre tract of land known as Anwar, the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge property. This property was set aside, by the way, as a portion of Anwar called the National Petroleum Reserve, for exploration and production, but Democrats were trying to turn that off and not allow what President Trump had opened back up and we had done in the Jobs Cut and Tax Bill, and it got defeated. I think I had 198 yes votes and then the rest 240 or so no votes, so it's kind of tough being in the minority.
Well, I... You know, from the perspective of us watching the news and everything, it looks like there is just one way, the Democratic way, and very, very hard for you guys to put the brakes on anything.
Yeah, it really is. And honestly, Ann, even when we were in control of the House for, I think, 6 years, and then we won the Senate as well and the White House, we had an opportunity to do some things for about 2 years. It was still the Democrat way. We had Chuck Schumer block things on the Senate floor through their cloture rules, where it takes 60 votes to break a cloture rule. So when Republicans only have 50 or 51 votes in the Senate, then Democrats are still controlling it. And they said no, put the brakes on a lot of things. So cut spending and did common sense budgeting, restoring funding to the military. And even for 6 years, we had Harry Reid over there, and we were in control of the House, and the Democrats were in control of the Senate. It was still their way. Barack Obama was president. It was Barack Obama's way or no way. And so it's been a frustrating 8 years, even when Republicans have the so-called majority in the House, Senate, and then we had the White House. Our majority was so slim in the Senate, it was very difficult to get anything done past that 60-vote cloture rule, which I think they ought to change on must-pass pieces of legislation. When I say must-pass, I mean things that fund the government and raise the debt ceiling are the most prominent must pass. We have to pass those every time they come up, to fund the government by the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, or extend funding for a little while until we work out some differences known as the CR, or raise the debt ceiling. Those are things that have to happen, but it takes 60 votes over there.
Yeah, it's it has not been a pleasant thing to watch, and of course, you have some real radicals up there, Jeff. I mean, how do people, I guess we should say Republicans, and you, how you're looking at the Ocasio-Cortez up there and Oman and the things that are happening with the Democratic party is just phenomenal to me to watch this and see nothing happen to them when they go and do such outrageous things like concentration camps on our southern border from Cortez.
Yeah, I mean, AOC, which is an easier way of saying Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC has talked and compared the detention centers in the southwest border to concentration camps. Well, I don't remember people walking thousands of miles and climbing fences to get into a concentration camp. That's what people are doing to get in this country. They're walking and putting their family in harm's way, walking thousands of miles trying to illegally enter this country. And we separate children because that's the right thing to do. We don't know if the adults they're with are their parents or whether they're coyotes trying to enter those children in this country for sex slavery or human trafficking in general. We have no idea, and until you do a DNA test or whatnot, you have to separate them for the protection of the child. Then we don't know what sort of inoculations they've had. We already see an outbreak of mumps and measles and other things that we've beaten back in this country crop up along the southern border, and then with catch and release policies, they're cropping up in places like Greenwood, where there's an outbreak of TB every once in a while in our public schools that's been traced back to an illegal alien. So it's the right thing to do to keep Americans safe. We're charged not with keeping the world safe. We're charged to keep America safe and Americans safe. And that's safe from diseases that we've beaten back. That's safety from human trafficking and sex trafficking and drugs and those things that are pouring across our border. And it's also keeping us safe from terrorists. So we need to find out who these people are, if they're requesting asylum, whether they're really eligible for asylum, and whether they've got more nefarious goals in mind. But to get back to your point, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrat caucus, they've got quite a challenge with their hard left wing, with Cortez, with Omar, and some others that really don't seem to love America, don't seem to understand what America is about. They definitely don't get capitalism and how Americans' wealth and our capitalistic society and our ability through entrepreneurs and innovators to grow and create wealth gives us the ability to help so many people around the world. Because I can tell you, Ann, when an earthquake happens in a place like Haiti, the Haitians aren't looking for the Finnish flag ship to show up at their shores to help them. They're looking for Old Glory. They're looking for that American flag ship to come in there because they know it brings stability and wealth and ability to help them in a dire situation. Absolutely. That's what American exceptionalism, capitalism actually does. And these folks just don't get it. They're anti-Semitic. They seem to hate America and what America stands for.
Well, it is. It just drives the ire of so many of us out there that it makes it hard to just say, why isn't something happening? It just makes it so hard. But on to another point here this morning. You know, yesterday we understand that President Trump had ordered some type of strike and something was going to happen. And then all of a sudden it pulled back, I guess, around 7 o'clock last night. I understand they were even in the air, I believe, headed for this mission. And all of a sudden everything pulled back. What can you tell us about that, Jeff?
Well, I'm hearing the same things you're hearing. I was not in the briefing at the White House with the leadership, but we do know that, you know, apparently Iran has been responsible for bombing with mines, some oil tankers, and then we know that they shot down a U.S. drone that was monitoring the Straits of Hormuz in international airspace over international waters, and there needs to be some sort of response. Iran can't just get away with shooting down American military hardware like that with no response at all. Now, if the Iranians come back in back channels and say, you know, the button was pushed by a junior officer who misunderstood or whatever, maybe the president will be able to do something different. But I anticipate, and this is just Jeff talking, I anticipate some sort of military action or some sort of action taken, because we can't allow our adversaries to do that sort of thing.
I know.
But I'm not advocating for any sort of military action against Iran that would lead us to an escalation in conflict.
No, but there has to be, it would seem to me, there would have to be some response more than, oh, you just took down, what was it, $130 million plane there or drone.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a bully on the playground, and if you let them just continue bullying and never stand up to them, then life is not good. But, you know, America doesn't need to allow an actor like Iran which we know has been the largest state sponsor of terrorism, has been responsible for a lot of deaths around the globe, a lot of destruction around the globe, not just against the U.S., but against other targets in their Shia-Sunni religious wars and whatnot. But America can't allow this to happen. And peace comes through strength. We have the strength, and we need to let them know that they can't push us around like that.
So I guess what you're saying, you anticipate something happening here. You just don't know what.
Right. I anticipate something, and I think something should happen. And I would support something happening to get Iran's attention. But I am not advocating. Look, we're war-weary in this country. We've been at war almost 20 years in the global war on terror because we were attacked. Well, we were attacked. Our military was attacked by Iran just this week. And I just think something needs to happen.
And then, of course, there is Korea sitting over there, and we've got issues with China here. So this is a difficult position for the president to be in, isn't it?
It is, and he inherited a lot of it. Through sequestration, our military was weakened, our readiness was weakened, our ability to look to the future and build more hardware that we need to fight a 21st century war was hampered through sequestration or budget cuts to the military. We had a president in the last administration that really didn't believe in peace through strength. He wanted to bring the rest of the world up to equal playing field with America versus making America the strongest country in the world. And our ability to protect our interests, which we do have a national interest all around the globe, the last president didn't see that. He was more of a redistribution-minded socialist, really. They wanted to see the rest of the world be brought up with our money, in a lot of instances, brought up to be on par with the U.S. He gave Iran the ability to build a nuclear weapon, didn't do anything against North Korea, was almost a pacifist in a lot of ways. Well, President Trump came in, and there were a lot of events popping up around the world. And I say the Obama administration, look at what China was doing in the South China Sea with very little response from the United States. Well, that's a huge shipping lane. The Philippines are our allies. But China was exerting its presence in the South China Sea, building military islands and whatnot. And all of a sudden, now they're almost to the point where they can control those shipping lanes in the South China Sea. And that's a flashpoint. North Korea, where they were able to get away with a lot of stuff. Iran was able to get away with a lot of stuff in that last administration. So this president inherited a lot of different situations that he's had to deal with. And now Iran is poking the bear. And hopefully we, with whatever response we get, we'll show the world, don't mess with us.
I understand what you're saying. I know that, President Trump has been in office for what, a little over 2 years now. Well, how do you think? I know you had some questions about how he would do and how it would come together. What is your opinion about how President Trump has wielded? And would you continue to take the abuse that President Trump takes day in and day out? Lord.
Well, look, I just mentioned a lot of the things he inherited from the last administration, and it's unfortunate. But I think he's done a stellar job. I mean, promises made and promises kept. He's tried to secure our border. He's challenged our allies to step up their game and pay more of their fair share for mutual defense agreements like NATO. He's challenged our adversaries. I think he's challenged them in Syria and Iraq. I think he's put an end to ISIS and really been focused and given our military leaders the tools and the ability to do the job without micromanaging them. He helped with the jobs cut, jobs and tax cuts bill. So you see the economy rocking through lessening regulations and making a more pro-business environment, allowing repatriation of overseas earnings and the stock market, the business, everybody. If you want a job, you can get a job. There are more jobs looking for people than there are people looking for jobs in this nation. And so red hot economy that's rocking along. So I'm very pleased at the performance record of this president on the things he ran on, and that is turning the economy around, getting us out of that recession that we're in, helping people keep more of their hard-earned money. That's both corporations that earn it at the corporate level and pay it down in benefits, but also the employees that help them earn that money, and the employees are getting raises and they're keeping more of their money when they do get that paycheck, working to try to get big government out of our lives as much, where we make decisions for our family and our businesses, and without having to ask Uncle Sam if we can do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. You're listening.
So the president's done a good job on all those fronts, and Congress has not been a willing partner in this. We even Republicans didn't give him the money necessary in December to fund the security of our southern border. So we still have a border crisis down there. He's dealing with that day in, day out. And
Jeff,
all the while he's working on all these things, and he's got the mainstream media
I'm going to let you keep talking. Just let me say, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Okay, Jeff, go ahead. You're on a roll.
Greenwood. And look at the jobs there. I mean, economic development. I think Heather Jones and all the other players in economic development in Greenwood County have done a great job, but they're also given a lot of tools from the federal government and state government to help make their jobs easier and attract businesses and keep – they're probably looking for employees. They're probably saying, can the technical colleges please pump out more employees that will fit these technical jobs that these employers are needing?
Sure.
That's a great situation for our economy to be in.
Yeah, but
they're in Greenwood, but it's all over the country.
Yeah, but how would you like to be President Trump day in and day out taking, I can't believe, I said as a joke the other day, here he is, he's announcing that he is going to be running for his second term. Melania gets up there, she gives a great intro to him, and I was just saying, I think I'd get up there and say, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm just going to go enjoy life for a while. It's got to be tough.
I mean, he's a billionaire and doesn't take a salary and is working for nothing. Doesn't have to put up with all this, but is putting up with it because he loves America. And it's obvious this president loves our flag. He loves America. He loves the military and the men and women serving. He loves this great country. He's achieved the American dream. He had a great start to do that, but he has built on that wealth and has achieved the American dream. And I really believe he wants the American dream for every American. He wants them to have success as well, and he wants to do what's necessary to help them achieve that American dream.
Yeah.
And he's thwarted by Republicans in some regard, but Democrats at every turn that seem to hate him. I mean, the Mueller investigation, the whole Russian collusion deal, the DNC server hack, the Steele dossier, the deep state that really worked against him when he was running, and then after he was the president-elect, and even after he was sworn in with James Comey and Rosenstein and McCabe and Strzok and Page and so many others that were involved in this, we have to wonder why. He's had to deal with all that, and the mainstream media is not his friend. They're not supporting anything he's done. They hate him. I don't know why these people hate Donald Trump so much, but they do. Maybe it's because he rolled back the progressive agenda that they had, stopped their 16-year plan to put Hillary in for another 8 years after Obama, and worked to really get their people into the government and take over. That's the only thing I can think of. But he's had to deal with all of that, all those witch hunts, with all the mainstream media, with everything, and he's still done a stellar job. I don't know that I could have done it.
I know. That's what I'm saying, Jeff. I mean, I think at some point I just have to say, you can take this job and shove it, man.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, at some point, a weaker man would have or a woman would have said that. But he is staying focused on the job, on doing what he said he would do, and trying to not only make America great again, now that we've achieved some greatness in our economy and it's rocking along, and we've achieved challenged our adversaries, we've challenged our allies in NATO, spending more of their money for NATO that saves taxpayer dollars. He's done all of that. He wants to keep that going. That's where their slogan is: "Keep America Great." Keep America moving in that that direction, where people can achieve the American dream. We're safer. We're more secure.
Yeah.
I just think that's the right message.
I do too. I do. But moving along here now, I understand that you offered up an amendment to the spending bill to stop the impending and unjustified fee increase for dock and facility permits, and it was blocked. What does this actually mean to our everyday people that live on the lakes?
Well, it's a tax increase for people that have waterfront property on Lake Hartwell and Strom Thurmond, Lake Thurmond, on those core lakes. And we've had the Corps of Engineer, that's a group of unelected bureaucrats, if you want to call them that, that have made the decision to increase these fees without asking Congress, without it going through the appropriations process. It's a fee increase, but it's actually a tax on the lake property owners. And so, and it was an exorbitant tax. So I was like, no, y'all aren't accountable to the taxpayers. I am. I'm gonna work on their behalf to try to stop this fee increase. And so we offered an amendment, and it was not allowed to be debated and was not allowed to come to the floor. It was defeated in the Rules Committee, even though it was germane, even though we wrote the bill right, the parliamentarian was cool with it. The Democrats just said, no, we're going to allow this fee increase to happen. So hopefully the Senate can stop it. Lindsey and Tim, Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham, hopefully will step up and stop it on the Senate side.
And if not...
And if not, then the folks on Lake Hartwell and Lake Thurman will probably see this fee increase go into effect. Luckily, it doesn't go into effect until 2020. Maybe we'll have another bite at the apple to stop it. But keep in mind, these were unelected bureaucrats at the Corps of Engineers that decided to increase these fees so that they can spend more of our hard-earned money on whatever they are spending that money on. And they didn't come and ask us. They didn't give us any chance for input. They didn't put letters out to the public and try to get a feel of what people thought about fee increases. They just imposed it. And it's wrong. It's not the democratic process that we have. And I just thought it was wrong. I can keep fighting it. All the while, you know, back closer to home on Lake Greenwood, we're dealing with FERC trying to get, the relicensing of the dam down there. And, working with Greenwood County, and I can tell you, the FERC has been very difficult to work with on this. They've moved the goalpost on Greenwood County a number of times. I know y'all have probably read it with Mr. Brown there on County Council and in the city, or the county rather, and we're trying to work with FERC to try to get their proposal, which is a runaround in case the we have a 1,000-year flood. Actually, I think it's a 10,000-year flood event level, but I think it's a common-sense proposal that they offered, but the FERC keeps moving the goalpost.
Yeah, and I mean, we put aside the money to fix that, and still there's no answer. God, that was back, what, 2006?
Oh, this has been going on for, what, 5 years now?
Longer than that, I think.
Longer than that, yeah. Well, since I've been in Congress almost.
Yeah.
So, and there again, we have the FERC, which are some appointees from Obama and some appointees from Trump, and they keep moving the ones that can make the decisions keep moving the goalpost on Greenwood County, and that's wrong. And so we're ratcheting back up our efforts from my office. Hopefully Tim and Lindsey will join me on this to say, make a decision. You know, this is we've had engineers. We've presented a plan. It's common sense. You seem to like it, and then you move the goalpost, and now they're going to have to spend a bunch more money. This is ludicrous. Let's make a decision. This is a relicensing of a dam and a plan in case there's a climactic event, a plan that has worked at so many other hydroelectric projects around the country. It's common sense. And make a decision. It's the right thing for the county.
Yeah. You know, you bring up some interesting points here. You've said it on two issues here. The bureaucrats. In fact, I was listening to somebody, I don't know who it was, and they were talking about the fact that you guys, Congress and the Senate, you pass laws and things, and then it's the bureaucrats that work out the details of it, and they're really doing the work and getting the nuts and bolts to these things, and that's where part of the problem is.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's several things that ought to happen in Congress. We ought to have more of an administrative review process where if a rule or regulation is promulgated by an agency, it should have to come back to Congress. We look at it and see if it was the intent of the legislation, the way they wrote that rule or that regulation, whether it was the intent of the legislation, whether it meets the legislation's the goals, and we either approve, send it back and ask them to make some changes and resubmit it, or we just reject it outright and ask them to go back to the drawing board. South Carolina legislature has that. In fact, I created a regulatory subcommittee on the committee that I chaired just to look at the regulations coming from DHEC because there were so many. We needed a dedicated focus on those regulations to make sure they met the intent of the laws that we passed, We could ask DHEC to withdraw and resubmit with some changes what we expected, or we could up or down vote, or we could let it time out, which is one of the options, or we could send it back and reject it totally. We don't really have that process here in Washington. So when we write the Clean Air Act or the Clean Air Act, just to use two examples, we give tremendous rule writing and regulation making authority to the agency like EPA, and they get out there and they promulgate regulations that affect every American, and Congress doesn't have any more oversight. We have to go back and revisit the whole law, or we drag their butts in front of a committee and we question them on why, but at the end of the day, nothing changes. They still have the last say-so.
Yeah, that's a big, big, big issue. And, you know, one more issue I want to ask about, then I'm going to let you talk about what you want to talk about here this morning, is how do you think the draining of the swamp is going? You can give me a short answer. You don't have to go into a lot of detail. But what do you think about this swamp draining that's supposed to be happening, Jeff?
I think that the swamp is not being drained. I think the people that are trying to drain the swamp are being thwarted at every turn by the swamp dwellers. And I will say this, Ann, I think folks I represent want to see some justice. They understand that it was wrong to spy on an American citizen who was aspiring to be president. He just happened to be named Donald J. Trump. But that a fake dossier was used to convince a secret court to give them a warrant to spy on elements within the campaign, to ultimately spy on Trump himself. And then when he was elected, they continued that. And then when he was sworn in, they seem to continue that. They have thwarted Congress in its investigation. They've told lies in front of congressional committees. They've withheld evidence. They redacted stuff they shouldn't have. They didn't comply with congressional subpoenas. They know that there are so many people that know there were things that happened, and somebody ought to be held accountable, and they're ready to see justice, and I am as well. Somebody should go to jail for these Watergate-style tactics. But it was worse than Watergate because these were elements within federal agencies that were pulled together and used to spy on an aspiring American that was aspiring to be president. So it was wrong, and somebody will be held accountable. Now, who it was that initiated it, how did the genesis happen, where did it begin, who knew what, when, and somebody ought to be held accountable, and who are those people?
Yeah, that's those are all the questions that we're all anxiously awaiting, and truthfully, I don't think we're ever going to get answers to them, even though they keep pulling back layers and layers. I will say, I think Robert Barr was an excellent choice for Attorney General.
Well, I think Barr was a good choice. I think, you know, he's hired a guy who has been charged with looking at the genesis of that. You've even seen Lindsey Graham pull back his Judiciary Committee's investigation because they have been told what this gentleman's looking for and the methodical process that they're going through, and he's going to give him time to do his work. Lindsey seems to trust Attorney General Barr, so I'm going to defer to Lindsey. They have information I don't. I do know this, that the folks I talk to in the 3rd District of South Carolina want to see justice. They want to see it handed down, and they're ready for some closure to all this after too many years. But we're going to keep remaining vigilant on that issue where we can while we continue to try to fund government and return liberty to the states or the people and things I came up here to do. On a better note, right here in the last couple of minutes that we have, you know, I found my Clemson ring this Friday after being lost for 8 years.
So what did you read into that, Jeff? I mean, you know, when I do something like that, I always, you know, this has got to be some intervention. Something has to be happening. What do you think here? What was the signal from that?
Well, everybody told me I should have gone and bought a lottery ticket that day. I look at it. It was Father's Day, and my dad had sent me to Clemson. He was a Clemson graduate, and I remember in 2011 when I lost the ring, my mom and my dad came and they were on their hands and knees in my yard looking for that ring. Being able to find it on Father's Day and having lost my dad back in 2015, I can just say he probably was involved in that. It warmed my heart to find it. And on Father's Day, it was a great gift, and it's back on my finger and, you know, right where it should be. And it's kind of it completes me somewhat because when I didn't have that ring, I felt naked, so to speak. And it's good to have it back. It was just a great story. I mean, folks, we had so many likes on Facebook and so many comments, and news stations picked it up, ran stories on the Facebook post and the finding of the Clemson ring. The Clemson world, the Clemson family out there got involved. Everyone's so happy. So it was really a great, great story, and I'm glad it's back on my hand.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, this has been a nice treat on a Friday to have you on the air with us. Thanks for calling us in, and I guess you're going to try to keep up the good fight, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you, and thanks for all that you do, and I look forward to seeing everyone around the district, and stay cool during this warm summer, and we will talk soon, Ann.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.